Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. We are, in fact, Computer and Technology Radio. I am Mark Cohen. She is Marcia Collier. And we are delighted to share all the great news stories about tech today. So welcome. At least they're good. Well,
we have a little
disappointing, a few disappointing stories about tech, but yeah.
So how was your week?
Yeah, maybe so. Listen, anyway. Okay, so it was pretty quiet, nothing too exciting. And I'm waiting for the new iPad, which is supposed to, there's an
iPad. Well, we're going to be iPad, talking about that a little
there's
later.
There's an announcement from Apple, I think it's May 4th
and the Apple ID. Apple had a couple of issues. Nobody seems to be clear and perfect these days. First story just killed me. Reading
that is so true.
You know, my news, and I see health insurance giant Kaiser Permanente will notify millions of a data breach headline. And I think, oh no, somebody hacked into Kaiser's computers. Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is, yeah, not so fast.
Right.
I think their PR people wrote the headline because that was what it was in TechCrunch, right? Because it seems.
Yeah, probably.
Right, because the rest of the story
hoping
is
that you didn't
they're
read the
notifying
rest of the
story. Millions of current and former members of a data breach after confirming it shared patients' information with third-party advertisers. Note that. They shared patient information.
Is that not all right? They can't
that,
do that
is not a breach. And they sure. Right. And did they
sharing is not
data
breaching.
Company? Oh, no. They shared it with Google, Microsoft, and X, which we know is formerly Twitter. I mean.
Right. But it didn't affect that many people. It was only 13.4 million. 13.4 million. And as you and I were talking before the show, HIPAA laws, you can't reveal information from a medical company about your personal life.
That, and,
but I guess they did.
Technically, they can't do it. But remember, folks, anything you tell your doctor becomes part of your medical record. So if you don't want your doctor to put it on that permanent record, don't tell it to him. Find another doctor and use a fake name. Yeah, go.
I mean, I like this, and they're still calling it a breach. Yeah, the breach at Kaiser is listed on the Department of Health and Human Services as the largest confirmed related data breach of 2024.
And we're going to tell you another one a little later.
So
but I mean,
so
this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave it away.
Yeah, that's really bad.
So why is anybody shocked? Why isn't we have to seriously, what is it? The Department of Health and Human Services really has to crack down on this nonsense. I mean, the data is out there now, but that was current data. We have to worry about people's data in the future. And nobody is watching any of this. No, it just makes no sense to me.
No.
Yeah.
Well, at least, what is it? Cerebral Health is going to
pay
a $7
million
fine
like
over careless
in the
privacy
other story.
Violations.
Notice they don't call it a breach.
Right.
In The Verge, they say it was careless privacy violations. And what...
Right. They also said they were lying to their customers about how their data is
shared. Cerebral shared sensitive data of nearly 3.2 million customers. Now, I've never even heard of Cerebral, so I'm actually shocked that they have 3.2 million customers.
Yeah, neither had I.
But they shared the sensitive data with LinkedIn, TikTok, and Snapchat through trackers on websites or apps. I mean, they admitted to it last year. They got caught. And what's funny, Cerebral's ads were misleading, promoting ADHD treatment. And then it would, if they'd click on it, would link to ADHD to obesity. So in other words, the ads didn't even click to the place that they should have.
Yeah.
It went to something that they market.
Well, it's interesting because they were also banned from using health information for any advertising, which apparently is a first. Now, this is shocking that they say they have to ask the patient before sharing their data. I mean, that just seems like a difficult thing to do.
This is funny. I had a procedure recently.
Yeah.
And they hand me the, you know, consent to the procedure. And I hate those things. I hate those things. I don't like signing them. So I look at the top and it was for the wrong procedure.
Yep.
And I handed it back to the person at the desk. And I said,
"Wait, what?
Right. This is for the wrong procedure.
They're giving you a heart transplant instead?"
So she says, "Okay, hold on a minute." I walked out, you know, because I was done with my appointment. I never signed consent.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, you see that on TV shows where they, you know, the patient's in the room. Mm-hmm. And, okay, we're ready for your pregnancy, you know, for your delivery.
So I never
and it's a man.
It. Went so, ahead with it. Paid.
Yeah, there's a lot of that crap.
I knew that I had a good physician. So I paid for it, you know, paid what my insurance wouldn't cover.
Right.
And, you know, they just look, well, she's paid for it. Idiots. So anyway, if they share my data, considering
exactly.
I never signed that, I have a lawsuit. So you guys, good luck with that, because I'm not going to waste my time with that. But the point is,
good luck with that.
Read it, especially if it refers to social media. The FTC said canceling cerebral services was a complex, multi-step, and often multi-day process, and not the easy cancel anytime policy that the company promoted. So we have to just be more careful.
Right.
Just let's not sign up for things we're not really sure about. I think that's the whole key.
You know, and that's the big problem. I will say that a lot of the companies today, when you go to their websites, will now have a do not share my data button. And I don't even know if that works. We're assuming that when you click do not share my data, it's working, but maybe not. But then some of these companies direct you to
I've
a site
that.
Where there's like 500
What I do is when it goes to one of those pages,
it's
if
so absurd.
I really am in the mood. I'll do find in this page, which is a little thing that you can click on Android. And I look for the word sell my information.
Mm-hmm.
And 99 out of 10 times, it isn't there.
Right.
So they're just trying to screw you at every turn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? It really is scary.
But here
stuff.
You go.
But
the
nothing
next
you can do
story.
About it. You can only do as much as you can do.
The FTC is sending $5.6 million in refunds to Ring customers after employee spying scandal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I actually, it says that they're sending them to PayPal accounts.
The money is going to 117,000 customers who bought
and
Ring cameras before 2018. I've had a Ring. You and I have had Ring cameras since they first came out. Yeah.
Oh, forever. For when they first came out. Yeah. Yeah. I don't see anything that says I'm getting money.
And the FTC says $5.6 million in refunds to some Ring cameras buyers following a privacy-related investigation. But then again, you and I don't have Ring cameras in our house now, because Ring Camera makes indoor cameras as well. We don't have those. The FTC alleged that one Ring employee repeatedly searched for master bedroom and master bathroom. What a perv.
Yeah.
To view thousands of recordings of 81 different Ring camera owners, often watching, I don't even want to tell you, watching women for more than an hour a day. I mean, how much of this shit can you watch? Can't you log into?
Yeah.
Well, that's my point.
Especially because
right?
I mean, anybody can internet. Get porn if they really
porn
want it now
new.
For free.
But yeah. So this person has to be, in my yeah. opinion, you know, I don't know.
No.
A special kind of perv. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say so. Now, by the way, if you were one of those 117,000 people,
woohoo!
It nets you $47.86.
Oh, man.
So you can go out and apply that to your next ring camera.
I mean, it was a male
yeah.
They realized that the male employee was only viewing footage of pretty girls. Oh, well, that makes it so much better. Wait a minute. That makes it so much better. That makes all the rest of us.
Why wouldn't you do that?
You have to put on yeah. makeup before you go to the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. If it was.
Right?
Right. If they're pretty girls, then you can't expect them not to look at the videos. Yeah, exactly. The company denied, by the way, violating the law and disagreed with the complaint allegation, but they agreed to pay anyway.
Isn't that like admitting
guilt? Because
that's
what everybody does.
I mean, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you would think.
So anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And you can call Russ Consulting, which is a company that handles a lot of these class action suits, where they're handling the refunds and whose phone number is listed on the FTC announcement.
Or if you want to find out
if
some
check
perv
out to see
was
whether
watching
you get your 47
in the bathroom.
Bucks, that's how you do it.
God, I can't take.
Right. Yeah,
now,
that
one
is really disgusting.
The next story is for you to hit with this.
But
Apple ID password reset issue. Hitting iPhone, iPad, and MacBook users. What is this all about?
You know, I have not run across this issue before, but, you know, I've had a lot of problems with as I mentioned on the air, this is my least favorite of all time iPhone. I've had a lot of different issues back and forth. And apparently, when you check for messages or weather or reports or anything else, you were found to be logged out of your Apple ID and then required to not only enter the password again, but to change it for a new one. And that is so annoying. One of the things that annoys me about Apple is it gives you a face recognition.
I'll be sure to remember
option,
that if
is,
I ever
I
see
use
you napping.
Face recognition to turn on my phone. But every.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, just take a photo of my face and then I'm sure you can use it. And they constantly come back to you and say, reset your password or change your password. And then the real problem with Apple, and I'm probably the same with Android, is sometimes even though I write the password, I have a password saving thing. One's a little different than the other. Oh, and I actually have gotten shut out and I had to reset my entire phone.
Well, the interesting thing on Android I use a Chrome browser, which is Google. They have their own password. Mm-hmm. app that's built into Chrome that will suggest a ridiculous password that you will never remember or you can barely read because it makes no sense. But
right.
It does, I have to admit,
oh, yeah.
successfully. Yeah. Once I put one of those in, I always think to myself, well, I'm never going to get into this again. But I go to my phone or I go to, you know, my tablet.
Right, exactly.
And it's there. As long as, you know, I'm using Chrome. So.
Yeah, that's fortunate. Yeah, that is helpful. With the iPad or your iPhone or whatever, your Mac, it's not as easy to do that. Because once you're shut out on your internal ID, you can't get it again. You have to know what it is and they won't give it to you. Nobody will give you the password. So if you don't have it, you're looking at a reset on your phone, which is a colossal pain. So that is a really tough one. There's no solution, by the way.
Well, for my main
problem.
Password on Android,
Apple has not particularly
first of all,
commented
I made it really
about
long.
Why it's happening.
And
yeah.
I have a little bit of everything in caps
right.
and you know all the symbols and the, but it was something I could remember because I did not want
right.
to leave that to any chance whatsoever. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not.
Can you share your password so we can see if it's a good password? Oh, wow. How rude.
Yeah,
we're
going
to find it anyway.
God,
might as well
God,
just give
nobody,
it to us.
Because, I mean, your Apple ID and your Google account are the keys to the kingdom. I mean, if those go away, I mean, I happen to be big.
Right,
I like
exactly.
the fingerprint thing. You know, doing the biometric on the finger, I'm not a fan of doing the face recognition because I can just see too many ways that people can, like you said, take a picture of you and but fingerprints I feel a little
deepfakes.
More comfortable with, but I'm still a fan of the bizarro passwords. And two-factor authentication, which is super important.
Well, so that was the latest. Also, this is...
Right?
Which we always recommend, Even though it's a pain in the butt to use it, we recommend it. Also, then this is interesting. When the Vision Pro came out from Apple...
Well, I tried it on.
I know you and I both
There's a picture of me on
so.
The internet with it on.
Causes me... Yeah.
It was a VR headset. Yay!
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I hear people, some people really like it, most don't, but apparently they slashed production of the Vision Pro. They were originally planning to sell 800,000 units in 2024. They've now cut that to 400 to 450. And they're also calling to reduce production.
Well, from what I read in another article, it seemed like they had sold like a quarter of a million like the first week. And then, right, exactly.
Because everybody thought it was going to be great. And then the stories flooded out about people getting sick and nauseous.
We've talked about
and
it
using
since
it, which you and
AR
I talked about
and
it
VR
the
have
day
come
it came
out.
We said, for years. Right, exactly. And the initial sale, apparently to YouTubers and influencers, died down. You know, where a lot of people read that stuff to see if they like it. And it's just not what people thought
PC
it was going to be, especially
says,
for $3,500.
First, Apple Vision Pro costs $34.99. That's not $34.99. And it's not going to be an impulse purchase.
No, right, exactly.
For anyone but the well-heeled. That means those richy-riches out there. Second, it's a big, bulky, awkward device to use. It was very heavy. And that's something that people are not going to be happy to have on their head during normal day-to-day activities.
No, definitely not. I mean, it's a gimmick. Like a lot of these things, it's simply a gimmick. I can walk around Paris, with my headphone on and
you,
see
you could
things.
Also go to the Discovery Channel and find a lot of good videos on Paris. On a big giant
just watch
screen.
A TV show, right?
But the thing is, it seems technology comes out with these flash pan of the minute. VR and AR, they have been trying to shovel this down our neck like gooses for years. I mean, this is nonstop. And I think Apple did this to spite Meta, to get ahead of Meta. And it's not working for either of them.
Right. No, it really isn't. And I don't think it's going to work. And I think that this is going to go away at some point.
Remember,
they're already saying there may not be an update in 2025 for the software.
We had people banging the drums, running around the world, telling how this was going to change our lives. And it's a phone.
Exactly. And really nothing. I don't notice, my phone stays on 5G and I don't notice any speed difference, frankly, between what I used to have 4G
that
and 5G.
I would care
I'm
about.
Sure there is some,
it's
but
not like
enough
I'm
to
gaming,
be noticeable to me, So,
and also,
you would care about.
This business about AI.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think there is value to AI, but I think they're making far big a deal over it.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Well,
this is almost a little bit like the story we were talking about, in some degree, the Ring story. We've been talking about deepfakes, which are scary. And apparently the Apple Store has removed several generative AI apps from the Apple Store after, I don't know who 404 Media Investigation is, but they discovered that they
could
be used to create non-consensual nude
images. High school principals
images.
Have been discovering it for...
Apparently. Apparently, 404 Media had to provide Apple with direct Apple Store links,
I nearly
indicating
said
the company
words.
Isn't able to find them on their own, which is, I mean, isn't that nuts? A lot of this has been, these deep fake porn images have been coming up. They did one of Taylor Swift, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah. I don't know how to say her middle name. And, you know, the House of Representatives. There's a lot of nude images. I've noticed, I don't know if you happen to have seen this, but there's, you know who Melissa Roche is?
She's the blonde.
She's from Big Bang Theory. Little pretty woman from Big Bang. Well, they've been showing very provocative, not nude, but very provocative pictures of her, with a picture of her image and then a much more provocative picture of her. And I'm looking at the picture and I swear it's an AI picture. That is not her. That it's too perfectly, you know, her face is too perfect. Not that she's not a beautiful woman, but that I see this and I go, yeah, those are definitely not fake. Those are not real images of her. So there's a lot of this stuff going on. Apparently, the UK Ministry of Justice recently announced plans to make the creation of sexually explicit
deepfakes. Well, I have to tell you, aside from deepfakes,
illegal.
I mean,
in their country.
People have been altering and filtering pictures since Photoshop started. And I can tell you, hand on the Bible here, that a very famous home decor person, home artist, very famous for home decor, who's past 80, has been in magazines and everything, mm-hmm. and her pictures are thirst traps and the whole thing. She was in Sports Illustrated. I saw her in person, dude. She doesn't look really old, but she doesn't look like those pictures. No.
She doesn't. I hosted her. I know who you're talking about. I hosted her at Distinguished Speakers. She's lovely. And that was probably 8 or 9 years ago. And
little
she was
bit,
a very, very pretty
bit.
Lady, but you're right. There's a little bit of photoshopping going on. There's a wee bit of that going on. So there's a lot of the fake AIs, and it's scary stuff, too. Do you know about the latest, the scam where they get a voice recording
that's a whole other topic for another show. Yeah,
children.
That's terrible. I can't
and
even.
Then you get a message. Yeah. I mean, that's scary stuff. My daughter came up with a good suggestion, though, because, and we can talk about the story later, where you thought it was actually your child. She said you should, as a family, come up with a safe
absolutely.
Word. So,
well, you know, that's
kind
of been done since biblical times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's no mention of Elijah in the Bible.
Right. Correct.
Which those who know about Passover understand. Yeah. There's no mention of him in the Bible. So that's kind of a code word.
Wait, so he's not coming over?
I
was expecting him.
He's in the Bible. He's not in the Passover Seder, which is a service. Never mentioned. Yeah, that was secret stuff. Anyway,
if you don't know what I'm talking about.
So we were talking about smart TVs, and all this smart baloney is getting us all in a lot of trouble. It seems now they picked out a brand called Hisense, which is a very popular smart TV brand, and it just seems, you know, people have been noticing that their computers are slowing down and not working real well. Well, it seems that the Hisense TV are busy connecting to the home and sending your data out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't do that.
A sound designer and composer for games wrote on co-host that they'd been having trouble with their PC. The display settings didn't open. By the way, this is from The Verge. The task manager started hanging up. Then things that were really necessary to make the computer work started to fail. So speaking in hidden comments on Microsoft forums, it was revealed the problem is the TV. And, you know, just so you know, I don't connect my TV to the Wi-Fi. You don't have to, especially if you're using a Fire Stick, Apple TV, Roku.
No, you
if
don't.
You're using any of those connect to your Wi-Fi. There is no need to connect your TV unless you're not using one of those services, right?
Well, the part of the problem is, for example, my TV, I have an LG smart TV, and I run virtually everything through the TV, Apple
TV.
But the thing is,
you know, your Apple TV is connected to the internet.
Services that we have.
You don't have to have the TV connected to the internet.
Right, right. Well, except you do on this kind of TV, because when you want the updates, you have to update
through
the television.
Well, it's funny because Google...
Because the apps are run through the television.
No, Fire TV updates through the Fire Stick. It does not do anything through. Yeah, so maybe that's something
to look
for.
Yeah, well, that's a little different. This one is actually the apps on the TV.
You know, yeah, there are apps on the TV, but I don't use any of the apps on the TV. It's...
And that's the only place I do it because
it's just
easy.
You know, if your smart fridge
starts defrosting, I push a button and they're there.
You know why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, we've been talking about hybrids and all electric vehicles, and you and I have come down upon the we don't want an electric vehicle. We've been saying that almost since they first came out. But I have often thought, you know, a hybrid wouldn't be so bad because, you know, you get the benefit of having a gas engine as well as a electric charging motor.
Well, you know,
you've
to understand
a story
the
about should you buy one. So what do we have to know?
I was in England just last year and I'm in a taxi and the electric blah, blah, you know, we're green was in the taxi cab. And I asked the cab driver about it. And in London City, they use hybrids. So he doesn't plug it in.
Okay.
His car generates all the electricity. Charge the battery.
Yeah.
Okay. When you take your foot off the accelerator or hit the brakes, the car reverses the direction of the electric motor, which slows the vehicle and turns the motor into a generator to create electricity. If you were a kid and you ever had a little generator on your bicycle that would turn the lights on, did you ever have that? Yeah, the more you pedaled, your lights would go on. So you could.
You pedaled?
Same thing. I mean, that brings it down to
sure.
simple.
The stronger
that's
the light
it.
Got, right.
So I think that's incredibly efficient because there's no worry about plugging it in. Right?
Right. And I would consider that, certainly consider hybrid. I don't think I'd ever consider a full electric car. But, you know, unless the range got to 1,000 miles or something, you know, usable. And, of course, as we've talked about a lot on the air, these electric cars, if it's hot out, if you drive too fast, if you use your air conditioning, your 300-mile range
is now
220 miles.
Of the type that we just discussed, top in the U.S., Honda CRV.
Right.
Toyota RAV4, Honda Accord, Toyota Sienna, Ford Maverick Hybrid. Now, let's talk about plug-in hybrids. And we'll go over that tech in a second. But you have the Jeep Wrangler 4XE, the Jeep Cherokee 4XE, Toyota RAV4 Prime.
Right.
BMW X5 Drive 50E. Volvo XC90 Recharge. Those are the top ones. Personally, I don't know any of these cars. The ones that are listed in the hybrids that self-generate electricity, I'm not into buying any of those at all. So, but anyway, how much mileage does a hybrid get that's better than a gas power car? Supposedly, 40% more on average than gas-only vehicles, according to Consumer Reports. The most efficient Toyota Camry hybrid sedan gets 52 miles a gallon in combined city. But wait a minute, Mark. Didn't we have cars 10 years ago that would get 52 miles a gallon that had really small engines? They had really small engines.
That was a lot. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the smaller cars did. I think you're probably
right.
The bigger cars, it's got, you know,
says nearly 63% more than the official hybrid Camry 32 miles per gallon. So, you know, that's a big deal. So, but the plug-in, of course.
Yeah.
A plug-in hybrid is different. They cost more than gas-powered cars, 20% more, first of all. And you have to plug it in to charge a battery. It just seems to me there's a good article that I was just reading in Car and Driver about this. Yeah, you'll still save money. You'll still save the environment, which we all want to do. But personally, I don't want to install. You have to, I mean,
absolutely.
Let's face it. You install a plug-in, you know, one of those things for a car. You install that in your garage. Nobody's going to tell me I'm not going to have to add something to my electrical panel. I mean, nobody. Don't tell me I just have to buy this little plugger thing. Right. Plus.
Oh, no. It's like $1,200 to put one of those in. Plus,
right. And
plus the cost,
don't
if you say, as you say,
that.
If you have to increase your panel.
You know, I heard somebody talking on the radio about, you know, they had gotten solar panels like 20 years ago. And all of a sudden, they realize they're not getting what was promised in the contract. Well, you know, we have to check this stuff out before we sign the contract, before we sign the vehicle, for the vehicle, because it makes a difference. Once the battery in a plug-in hybrid is nearly depleted, the gas engine takes over and operates like a regular hybrid. So you won't get stranded. I like the idea of EV hybrids a lot. And if you look at the chart, it's in the Wall Street Journal. The plug-in hybrids are not selling. Do you see that chart, Mark? I mean, that's ridiculous. They are not selling. But a regular EV is. But as Tesla has found out, it seems we don't have a story on it, so we're not going to go deep into it. But you've heard their sales are down. They've lowered their prices. I think everybody who wanted an EV has
significantly
bought
down.
Their EV.
Yeah, I mean, they were a massive rush to buy Teslas and others, and now they're, you know, the Tesla just announced they dropped the price again.
Exactly.
To their lowest price probably ever.
I think we need to save.
So
we've
what
been
does
yakking
that tell you?
For so long here. We need to save our next stories and go right to streaming. What do you think?
We could certainly do that. Can talk about what it's interesting. The movie chart, this is for April 18th through the 24th. I would just watch this first movie. It's called Late Night with the Devil. It's a horror film, sort of. It's kind of a takeoff on the Johnny Carson show, and it was decent. I wouldn't say it was the greatest movie I've ever seen, but it was decent. So that's called Late Night with the Devil.
No, I have
Argyle,
I have not
which was
watching
very
anything.
Entertaining. Did you watch Argyle? Oh, okay. Well,
what's
Argyle,
it about?
Again,
what's it about?
Very entertaining. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
The Zone of Interest.
Okay.
It's a
okay,
spy
that's
thing.
Good. Yeah.
With it's got a twist to it that I don't want to tell people. But yeah, Zone of Interest, again, that's getting a lot of play. It's on Max.
Everything that's going on in this world right now about that entire thing, I have no zone of interest to watch that movie.
Yeah.
I really don't.
You to watch the thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next is Rebel Moon, which is on Netflix. I think I started to try to watch it and couldn't get into it. I don't think I ended up watching it. Anything About You, a romantic comedy that I did watch. It was
fun. Well, because it's free
Netflix
now.
Netflix gives you something entertaining. Oppenheimer, which...
Yes.
Well, it's free now,
yeah,
right.
Great movie.
Oppenheimer, a great movie. One movie of the year, Academy Award for movie of the year. The Beekeeper,
it's
I did watch.
It's nothing about
and,
bees.
Jason Statham? I always screw up.
Oh, there are? Good to know.
There actually are something about bees in the movie. Yeah, it's not the main thing, but yeah. And it was good. And I like most of his films. Poor Things, which we've talked
about
extensively.
How many thumbs up do you
with
give
Emma
it?
Stone. She won Best Actress for that and did a great job. I would give
thumbs.
That
Let's
a
do one out of five
four,
stars.
How many thumbs up do you want?
Okay,
out of how many?
That's good.
I would give it a four. Yeah. Dune, which is the I believe it's the original Dune, not Dune 2, which everybody's raving about, and I haven't been able to get into it. And that is now available on Max. And Anatomy of a Fall, I don't know anything about
that. Is
that
something about
it's on Hulu. And
people getting older and breaking their hips.
We'll have to look at that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly okay. What it's about. That and a movie after her husband's death.
Okay,
so
I'm going to
need
like a little help
generally
on the TV
want to
shows.
Watch, but I don't know.
Fallout.
What do you got on TV?
I'm sure you've watched this, and I love these kind of things.
Loved
it's
it.
About there
loved
was a
it.
Nuclear war, and Los Angeles is covered with fallout. And if they had just left the mutants out of it, Yeah, because that's, you know, just another excuse in my mind for zombies.
Right. Yeah. Well, there were, although the interesting thing in this movie is the lead, which is, I always screw up his name, Walton Coggins, very, very good actor. He's kind of the lead in it, and he is
a
zombie,
but
he's a zombie
that
you like.
We'll see how long it lasts on number one, or if it's renewed.
Well, and also remember that it's getting great reviews. I think it had like a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a video game. So they're following the format of the video
game. By the way, speaking of TV shows, have you ever watched Young Sheldon?
It was a very, very popular video game.
Excellent show. I was at the Paley Center last
week. Oh, yeah,
it's
a very cute show.
And met the cast of the show. And interesting, just a little side tip for anybody who's a fan of the show.
Yeah.
You know, probably they're ending it because how far can they take young Sheldon because he's now taller than everybody? But the entire Annie Potts was great, and everybody was so endearing, and they were holding hands and talking because, you know, the show's ending this season. And funny, nobody had anything special to say about the kid who played that played young Sheldon. Yeah. And when he spoke,
the kid
literally in person, he's just the same as the character. I cannot imagine spending days working with this human being. It's just no. And tip off, spoiler,
he's done a great
not
job
really
on
a spoiler,
the show, though,
there
you know?
Is a spinoff coming, and it's Mandy and Georgie.
Yep.
But I have to tell you,
I have my doubts about that
actor
one.
Who plays Georgie Morgan, he is exactly as Georgie. He's doing a good job on that show.
Funny. He's a good actor, and he's doing a really good job.
You know, Grandma
will
still have to come babysit, I guess. You know, they'll have to. Yeah, Meemaw. But I understand that in the rest of the series that we're going to see before it ends. We're going to find out how this lovely, charming Annie Potts Meemaw turns into that nasty old biddy that was Sheldon's mother. Because Sheldon's grandmother. Because remember in Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, exactly.
She's mean, she's nasty, she's vile. We're going to learn why and how she turns in. So watch that show. It's going to be good.
And you probably know that her mother on that show is actually her real mother. The woman that plays the mother on the show, her mother is Laurie Metcalf. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they talked about
that. And in real life, that's her real mother.
Okay, so we're going over time here. So let me tell you that number two is Baby Reindeer, Netflix. Have you seen that?
It's very difficult to watch, yet very entertaining.
It's about little baby reindeer,
true story.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not watching
that.
That
it's
moving
a true
along.
Story about sexual abuse
Shogun,
and being
number
stalked.
Number three, I may be forced to watch it. I don't care either because I loved the last one so much. Number four is Under the Bridge. Doesn't look like particularly anything I'm over the moon over. Number five is Ripley. I think I've seen enough shows about Ripley The Incredible Mr. Ripley. Okay, good. He was an interesting character.
It was
number
good.
Six
it was
is
very
Sugar.
Well done.
Got no idea, but it's a good, the poster yep. is a good looking guy with sunglasses. Okay.
Okay. Oh, it's very
looks good.
Good. The, Colin Farrell.
I always
as
judge
a
the
detective.
Posters.
Very good show.
Sorry. makes it right. Number yeah, seven right. is The Sympathizer.
That's an intellectual way of doing it.
Well, no, it is kind of intellectual because when they make
don't
these
know,
posters,
I haven't seen that.
They think they are right. They're portraying their thing as best.
They try to catch your attention.
And if that doesn't sell you, then forget it.
Yep,
number eight,
true.
Conan O'Brien Must Go. I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Me either. Palm Royale.
Don't know.
Is
I
number,
know who he is. I don't know what the show is.
And how is it?
I just started it. One episode, I love Kristen Wiig. She's the star. And
yeah,
the first episode really caught me, so I like it.
And number 10 is The Three-Body Problem. Watching a rather difficult
yeah,
one to see.
I watched it.
But it, and I don't remember it. I'm going to like Google it now. TV series. Yeah. It just started. It's hard to watch.
A different series? Well, while you're looking it up, there's also a good one on Apple TV, which is Manhunter, which is the story of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
No,
really
interesting story. I'm trying my best. It would be 2024, right?
Okay.
Yeah, just started watching. Very difficult.
That would be the year we're in.
Not The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
No?
It was something.
I don't know. There's so many shows out that it's hard
please.
To remember
that,
not
that's
only
a whole
what
other
they
story.
Are, but where they're, you know, what network they're on, how to find them.
We were
a
the
lot
lucky ones.
Yeah, well, you have to tell us next week
do,
if you think of it.
Do watch it. It's rated on IMDb.
Oh.
9.8 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay. In a nutshell.
Was that a war thing?
It's about the people. It isn't the war story. You know how all of these are war stories and how horrible that is. And how, no, this is about the people and how it affects their daily lives. It's incredibly engaging. I highly recommend it. It just came out, but of course it's difficult to watch. So, you know, life is going to kind of march on for us here. And
I'm sure.
Hopefully next we'll be able to come up with some more exciting stuff.
Hey, that's it. There's the music. Must be time for us to go. Yeah. Thank you for joining us as always.
Oi, Cinco de Mayo, more holidays.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Cinco
de Mayo coming up.
Well,
celebrate.
Keep listening. Join us. Subscribe. Tell your friends. We love
More
being
food.
Here for you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier. Produced by Brain Food Radio Syndication, Global Food for Thought.